to stand up in the info war and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight, you better believe you've got one.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
How are we going to really almost deprogram these people who have signed up for the cult of Trump?
Even if we were to have a resounding blue wave come through, as many of us would like, putting it all back together again after we've gone through this MAGA nightmare and re-educating, basically, which that sounds like a rather a re-education camp. I don't think we really want to call it that.
Newsom has signed 3 anti-free speech bills yesterday. One of them says if prosecutors decide, in their own opinion, that you were trying to deceive with a deep fake, and they use examples of things that are clearly jokes, that you will face many years in prison after they've signed laws that if you rape a child as young as 12, you get 2 days in county jail.
What's up, guys? It's your lovin' govern here to drop some nah about Prop 83. Prop 83 is a spending bill designed to make new investments in a freaking butt ton of underfunded sectors in our great state, like renewable energy. Cali leads the nation in solar power, which is rad. But what about lunar power? I believe the moon is capable of so much more than just controlling your Aunt Diane's ovulation cycle. Ooh, take it, take it, take it, take it. Thank you. Let's put the moon to work for us. You know we crush it when it comes to whatever bra, drug laws. But Prop 83 hits different, allowing Californians to keep up to 7 ounces of hallucinogenic toad venom for personal use, plus 2 gallons of synthetic peyote and rando Guatemalan lab bought with crypto off the dark web. Bussin'.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, anybody can tell when something is AI. It can instantly, if people are confused, they can find the actual clip. They just want another way to convince everybody to go after free speech. And that ties into Hillary saying arrest people for disinformation. The UN and WHO have announced, along with the WEF, massive plans to start criminally charging people, which is already happening all over Europe and Australia, for their speech. And Canada, that is a huge vital stack as the system goes openly, nakedly communist Chinese style.
There has to be a responsibility that is placed on these social media sites to understand their power. They are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any level of oversight or regulation. And that has to stop.
But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrent.
I don't feel at home with people who believe in censorship. I think it's disqualifying. It's antithetical and inconsistent with democracy. And we had Hillary Clinton yesterday making this extraordinary statement that endorsing this censorship of speech in our country. We have Kamala Harris saying that free speech is a privilege, it's not a right, and Tim Walz saying the same thing. And I think that is disqualifying for anybody who wants to be president of the United States to believe in censorship.
They've been brainwashed, Joy. I really believe that they have been brainwashed by this misinformation campaign.
So how do you de-radicalize these people?
Once we educate them, we coach them on how to interact and empower the person to start thinking for themselves.
I think a lot of people are going to have to be deprogrammed.
We had a program addressing white supremacist that we had programs, federal programs, that went towards funding organizations like these that de-radicalized people. And President Trump pulled the plug.
I mean, this is, on a scale of censorship, it's very high. I mean, this is just wild. But, I mean, when you're smuggling 325,000 admitted missing kids,
We certainly don't claim to be doctors, but InfoWarsMD can prescribe a wide variety of supplement formulas to help you stay healthy in an ever-growing toxic world. These individually tailored combinations of vitamins, minerals, and natural ingredients address a broad spectrum of bodily functions, and each offers a unique boost to your well-being. Take, for instance, the synthesis of amino acids found in Nitric Boost, designed to promote circulation and muscular performance, or the microorganisms contained in our probiotic formula meant to help with digestion by introducing healthy bacteria to your system. Then there's Good Night Sleep and its proprietary sleep formula that can restore a healthy sleep cycle to your daily routine. So ask your doctor or just take our word for it and check out the InfoWarsMD products found exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer. I'm Jason Alsis. We're going to be talking about the Diddy revelations. If you remember, we talked about this about 7 months ago at length, multiple podcasts, multiple fourth hour Alex Jones installments, where I covered what was mounting to be a pretty epic breakdown to show that really pop music, especially the rap genre, it's all fake and gay. We've been saying it was fake and gay for a long time. That was considered to be a pretty wild conspiracy theory. But if you remember some years back, maybe 10 years ago, and Alex reported on this at the time, it had come out in various leaked business meeting transcripts and stories that the founders of MTV had actually helped to craft the notion of gangster rap, and that you could have this kind of thuggish lifestyle as a social engineered package deal to sell, not just to black kids, but also to white kids, and then to sell it as an aesthetic, as a way of life to the whole world. And now you can see some form of hip hop and rap has really been adopted all over the world. I'm not saying that the music style itself is anything bad or evil, but the whole engineering project of selling people on a drug-based lifestyle, drug-selling lifestyle, all of that, glamorizing it, kind of in the vein of the way that Hollywood prior to that had glamorized the idea of organized crime and the mafia lifestyle. So we have evidence of that. I think Alex, as I said, mentioned people like Sumner Redstone and others who were really at the heart of this idea. We have also the story of people like Rick Ross, Freeway Ricky Ross, who, not Rick Ross the rapper, I think he's named after Freeway Ricky Ross, but you know, he discussed how high-level intelligence operatives and agencies were behind the importation of crack cocaine and essentially the whole coke importation of the 1980s especially was directly connected to key members of the intelligence apparatus and operatives of the CIA, people like Barry Seal, who was flying it in. If you've seen the Tom Cruise movie, American Made, you can think back to situations like Mena, Arkansas. You can think about the reporter, Gary Webb, who was suicided over this. And so you'll notice their key connection to Arkansas in the time of the Clintons. That's going to be relevant because the Democratic Party plays a key role in this. Of course, I'm not saying it's only a Democratic thing. Many of the Republican establishment obviously have also been part of this longtime deep state uniparty, which has always been attached at the hip to the pop culture music arena. They've always been had this overlap. And this last week, I did a pretty in-depth interview with Sammy the Bull Gravano on my YouTube channel. You can go watch that. And he's the most famous living gangster. He's the most famous living hitman. He was John Gotti's underboss. We had a long discussion about his life and again, he sort of also backs this up from his perspective. Of course, there's always been this overlap between organized crime in the music industry, organized crime in intelligence agencies. Think back to situations like Operation Underground. This is where the mafia was recruited back at World War II and even prior to that to utilize the drug networks to fund black operations that the mafia controlled. The Sicilian mafia had control of a lot of opium lanes. It's not just the Sicilian mafia. Obviously, other mafias had a role in this as well. Other intelligence agencies had a role in this. The French had a role in these various drug lanes, Golden Triangle and all that. But what's unique, I think, about the music realm is that it's really collapsing and it's being exposed as identical to the other scans. So if you think about it, you might think of all these domains and all these areas as disconnected. You might think, well, over here is the secret societies and their occult networks and how they operate with mind control or whatever. And then over here, you've got the intelligence agencies, and they operate over here in this domain with their, you know, with their aspects of black ops and, you know, off the books funding and assassinations or whatever we typically think of, you know, intelligence agencies doing, James Bond type stuff. And then there's government over here with their public elected officials, supposedly, and their corruption. And really, you know, and then there's music industry over here and Hollywood, and they're doing their, you know, degenerate party things. But really, a lot of these elements at the top overlap. And so it's not that there's necessarily one gigantic massive conspiracy where everyone's in on it. I was watching clips of Matt Walsh this week when he was debating with Joe Rogan on a recent appearance where they were discussing various large-scale conspiracies. And Matt Walsh, with his typical sort of normie perspective and I guess the Daily Wire mandates, you can't believe in anything conspiratorial, even though we've seen in the last 4 years one of the biggest gigantic coordinated global conspiracies in everyone's face, namely the COVID nonsense that they tried to foist upon the whole world. But no, you have to believe that it's really impossible because there couldn't be large-scale conspiracies because it requires everyone being in on it. Well, if you think about the Manhattan Project, the information was compartmentalized. Not everyone was in on the totality of what the pieces and the parts that they were making fit into. They didn't know they were making a bomb. They didn't know what this gigantic TVA project was that helped to, you know, fund and give the energy to the Manhattan Project out of Tennessee. They didn't know what all this was about. They only knew their little compartmentalized piecemeal operation. And so likewise, the structure of military works this way. The structure of intelligence agencies works this way, need to know basis. That's why they have clearance and all that for more detailed information that you don't have access to. The secret societies operate on the same tiered basis of need to know. You're compartmentalized. For example, Albert Pike in Morals and Dogma says that the lower degrees are not told the secrets of the higher degrees of Masonry. So all secret societies, all groups, all mafia organizations, guess what? They're based the same way too. It's a cell structure with tiers based on the old Roman military structure, how the Roman generals would structure their military. And the information is compartmentalized. It's based on a need-to-know basis. So conspiracies don't work on this really low IQ idea that everybody would have to be in on it or else they couldn't do it. Again, this is basic military stuff. I'm not a military historian, but I've read several military historians who talk about, of course, you compartmentalize the information. You don't tell everybody in the army what the secret plans are. This would be foolish. So likewise, the government and the military is structured on the basis of compartmentalized information. So this idea that no conspiracies on a large scale are possible because everyone would have to know it or that it would come out is not true. And by the way, eventually, information does come out and large-scale conspiracies do get exposed. For example, it is declassified and no one doubts anymore Operation Northwoods. That was one example of a document where a large-scale conspiracy was being planned, and it's universally admitted as a declassified valid document nowadays. It included false flags, it included a staged newscast to blame the event on the Cubans, Castro, etc. It included commandeered radio-controlled drones or jets or planes, staged bodies in the plane if it crashed, et cetera. All of this stagecraft, for example, in the case of Northwoods, is admitted and undeniable. Many other instances in history have been admitted to false flags. We've done entire 4 hours of Alex Jones where the world's various intelligence agencies and governments have given at least 42-plus examples of admitted false flag operations, again, from government and intelligence sources, Turkish intelligence, Israeli intelligence, Lebanese intelligence, et cetera, admitting we believe this event was a false flag. But now remember, in the mindset of the normie conservative world, that still doesn't exist. It's not a thing. That's the realm of conspiracy people, even though everybody who's been in the military for any amount of time or who studies military history knows there's such things as false flags. In fact, most wars begin with false flag operations, like the Gulf of Tonkin, and even more recent conflicts like the Maidan coup that began with a black ops sniper operation, which set off a coup, set off a riot. So even in present day situations, we know that this is going on. We know that militaries lie on a large scale on any side of a conflict. So the idea of people like Matt Walsh or people at the Daily Wire who believe that there's no such thing as conspiracies, you shouldn't talk about that, it doesn't exist, it's crazy, is just simply historically false. Now, to go to the music industry again and to Hollywood, this is something that I've focused on in my graduate work. A lot of people think that it would be schizo. It sounds crazy to think that there could be an overlap between people in Hollywood or the music industry and operations relating to the FBI or to the CIA or to compromise at a high level. And yet, what did we lecture through pretty recently? I did a whole fourth hour here on this topic of the vast history of sexpionage. This is a classic mainline history book. This is not a conspiracy book. This is a mainline history book on the history of sexual espionage. And what we saw there was that this is not an exception in history. This is the norm in history. In fact, we saw multiple cases like the Russo-Japanese War, where sexual compromise played a key role in deciding the winners of the conflict. Other military campaigns and operations have also been decided in history. And in fact, some of the World War II victories were determined on the basis of intel gathered from brothels. Churchill commandeered certain brothels where he got information on German generals through the brothels and through the pillow talk secrets that were leaked at that time. So if this is the norm in history and warfare, why are we still acting in the media, and especially in alternative? I understand why mainstream media acts like none of this exists, because they are completely controlled. They're there to lie and prop up the system. But to have all of the so-called alternative conservative media still acting like the neocon normie conservative media of 20 years ago is mind-boggling to me. Now, as all of these cases come out, imagine after Epstein, and now after the new Epstein, Diddy, he's basically Black Epstein, he's Blackstein. How are we not admitting that this is what really goes on at the levels of the power elite? Why are we still buying into the normie narrative? If we look at the history of P. Diddy, for example, we're going to see that the structure, it appears, this is what we said 7 months ago, and it's not necessarily confirmed yet, but it looks like that's where it's going, and that's what seems to be the case in these arrests. It seems to be tied to a lot higher level criminal actions and criminal activities that do involve high level government and intelligence operatives. But this is nothing new. Think back to the most famous Satanist of the last century, Aleister Crowley. Dr. Richard Spence has a book. We've interviewed him on this book, Secret Agent 666. He notes how Crowley was brought into British intelligence. He was involved in putting out propaganda for British intelligence. He was involved in various operations, including the operation to get Rudolf Hess to fly into Scotland, because Hess listened to occultists and esotericists, right? So this helped determine that conflict as well. And Crowley's not the only one. It looks like people like Madame Blavatsky were also in some way intelligence operatives or spies. So these are the top occultists of the last century. They just happen to have high-level connections to espionage, and it looks as if Blavatsky, at least most people, scholars today, we covered this when we did the Cambridge Companion the other day, it's believed, scholars believe that she was a spy. If we think about even the religious realm, it's not any different there either. We're noticing the same patterns, the same structures of how these scams, how these compromise operations, how these Ponzi schemes are structured. It's no different than it is in things like Gladio. Remember in Operation Gladio, we saw that the entire Italian government, including the cardinals and the Church of Rome during the Gladio Cold War operations, many of them had been compromised. They were on the CIA's payroll intake because they had been to Bunga Bunga parties where they had participated in occult ritual orgies that were very, very much Eyes Wide Shut style stuff. And so they were on board totally with what Licio Gelli and other members of the organized crime structure in Italy had been set up to do through the P2 Lodge that Henry Kissinger was really running, according to the academic sources on this, including people's PhD theses like Daniel Ganser. So again, same structure, get people to parties, get people loaded up on Johnson & Johnson, which apparently P. Diddy had Puff Daddy. I still call him Puff Daddy. I don't know. It's P. Diddy. So Puff Daddy had 1,000 bottles of Johnson & Johnson, which itself is gross. I mean, isn't that just a bunch of petroleum seed oil stuff? But just beyond that, like 1,000 bottles? Like, how many people are coming to these parties? And essentially, to be recruited into the rap world required this initiatory process, this humiliation and compromise operation where you would be filmed doing all kinds of gay sex acts or other types of stuff. That is now, again, coming out in multiple people's accusations. And this has led to the arrest. And Diddy's being charged with things like human sex trafficking and so forth. So you'll notice these patterns here. What does this look just like? It looks a lot like the Epstein model, doesn't it? Now, I don't know if there's a direct connection between P. Diddy and Epstein. There could be. But if you read Whitney Webb's book on Epstein, the volume 2 of her blackmail book, she does make a lot of connections between the people like Diddy, people like in the black organized crime structure that's out there, that they have obviously a deep, deep connection to the DNC. They have deep, deep, longtime connections to the Clinton operation, to people like Oprah. Think back to John of God. Again, other human trafficking cult operations like John of God, the cult that was engaged in human trafficking, also heavily promoted by Oprah to all the wine moms and the Oprah moms out there in America. Now, oh, it turns out he's a human trafficker. Oh, well, it turns out there's another one. So this structure of especially more so the Democratic Party, I mean, I think there's plenty of corrupt rhino people too, so I'm not excluding the Republican fraud establishment either. But this seems to be really the Democrats that are the most locked into Hollywood. Hollywood is absolutely, you know, 99% Democratic Party controlled, affiliated, top-down structure. But it's not really ultimately just about your ideology. It's about these compromise structures and these networks that bring people in, spirit cooking style operations. Think about Marina Abramovich and her spheres, right? She's training Lady Gaga to do these Crowleyan style rituals and putting your magical intentionality into your performance art and all this. Again, very consciously, explicitly Crowleyan and occultic stuff. Now, again, remember, this doesn't exist. We're told still by the mainstream media this is all made up. What is it, Atlantic Magazine? There's no such thing as Epstein and child trafficking. All this all made up. And they'll say that because they'll put out fake stories of people going to the extreme, the QAnon nonsense. And so they'll say, look, here's what these people believe, therefore it's not true. Well, that stuff's put out on a purpose to make people talking about it seem absurd. But it is real. There's absolutely human trafficking. There's absolutely all this stuff going on. Alex has been down to the border and documented it in the last couple of years with the completely open borders and the various NGOs that and foundations that are supported and are down there running this stuff, right? Israeli-connected NGOs, Soros-connected, Roman Catholic-connected NGOs, all working together to do this mass importation and connected to, guess what? Similar style operations to Boys Town and the Franklin cover-up. Look into the Franklin cover-up. You'll see that Boys Town, the largest Catholic organization at that time, I don't know if it still is, for orphans and so forth. Oh, actually, turns out it's a human trafficking cover and that they're trafficking boys to the White House, Republicans at that time, to be engaged in all kinds of sex acts, which were also Epstein-style compromise operations. Craig Spence, the lobbyist, was at that time compromising people through cameras behind mirrors, all the same stuff that you would expect. Oh, guess what? Turns out Diddy has cameras in every room to compromise people. Now, Diddy didn't think this up, right? He didn't come up with all this because he's some sort of like mega mogul, rap genius, you know, Blofeld character. No, he at some point was probably brought into or co-opted. I know he's had a series of arrests and so forth and investigations back in the day. And if we look into his history, it's a pretty wild history. Diddy was raised in a family who his father was very close to the black gangster Frank Lucas. So he always kind of had a pretty close connection to black organized crime groups. I believe his dad ended up dead. And then his mom took him to try to get out of that lifestyle and they fled to the suburbs. At some point, he ended up close to the figure of Clive Davis, who's a famous rap or mogul, I guess you could say, of music. He is, I believe he's the grandfather to Merrick Garland. P. Diddy then begins his rap career, his hip-hop career, by bringing in a lot of people who would become the next face of rap music at that time. He would kind of grow to become the mogul of the period back when it was like the late 90s and Def Jam Records. And so you had people like Craig Mack, and you had people like Mace, all the rappers that were getting really popular on MTV in the late 90s, Notorious B.I.G. But what was interesting was that you started to notice, and other people were noticing this even back at the time, a lot of people around the circles of Diddy were dying. Even famous people were having falling into comas. They were suddenly dying. Other rappers were meeting their demise. Heavy D. Let's see. I'm trying to remember the other guy who ended up in a coma. One of the 90s like R&B guys ended up in a coma because he was threatening to write a tell-all book or something like that. I forget all the details, but it's Al B. Sure. That's right. Al B. Sure ended up in a coma because he was talking about writing a book, a tell-all book. And we had this phase of Uptown Records, Bad Boy Records. A lot of the people at this early stage were, again, ending up dead. And this is because when Diddy marries Kim, this ends up in a situation where he has her phones tapped. He's asking her apparently to be involved in a lot of sexual operations. He's bringing in other guys to be engaged in sex acts with her, recording it all, and not just her, but him as well. So this is turning into a lot of gay sexual compromise. And this happened, I guess, so many times that people really started thinking that it's time to call him out. It's time to go out publicly about this. But Kim ends up dead. He ends up paying $250,000 a month to another woman who threatened to come publicly out and talk about all this. The FBI investigated Diddy in his past for certain crimes. That could have been a point when he was brought in to do something or run some kind of operation. The rapper Heavy D was in these circles. He ends up suddenly dying because he was going to write a tell-all book. Anyway. So again, and as this is coming out now, people are going back and digging into all of the people at a high level that Diddy was very, very close to, like Oprah. And you can better believe, and you might want to save that stuff because they're probably going to scrub all of that. But it's not just Oprah. It's also a lot of people in the pop world. He was very close, apparently, to or fairly close, I should say, to Taylor Swift. So what we're starting to notice is that the music industry is really kind of a big club of sex operatives and compromise, and you ain't in it, right? Well, I don't want to be in it because this turns out this was all fake and gay the entire time. And again, this is nothing new because this is the same structure and model. Are you noticing a pattern? Boys Town, Saville, Elm House, sexual compromise, cameras everywhere. The Boys Town Franklin cover-up, Craig Spence, lobbying, cameras everywhere, gay GOP, the gay OP, the Diddy operation, cameras everywhere, filming all of this. Adnan Khashoggi's yacht comes up in the first chapter of the Epstein book. Adnan Khashoggi was some kind of sex operative compromiser too, as well as a weapons trafficker, because he was using his yacht, bringing in Pakistani prostitutes, and compromising people on his orgy yacht parties, if you read chapter 1 and 2 of Whitney Webb's book. So again, this is a constant theme that we're seeing. And when we come back, we're going to talk about more of the sex compromise operations, Diddy, and how the system works.
It's Friday, August 16th, 2024. The world is changing. The globalist system is now attacking humanity. Yes, our programs come to an end. A digital frontier. I tried to picture clusters of information as they move through the computer. What do they look like? Ships, motorcycles, with circuits like freeways. I kept dreaming of the world I thought I'd never see. And then, one day, I got in. Jones. Dr. Kirk Elliott, good friend of mine, really smart guy, is our guest. And I'm just going to put this right up front. If I owned a restaurant, I would want to have the best, most delicious, healthy food at the most affordable prices where I got the biggest crowds in. So you had a great experience. You want to come back 100 times and I make money and I'm successful. You have a great time. You get treated right. I get treated right. That's a community. So let's say it again. People really responded to this truth. I've been on there 30 years. I've had gold sponsors for 28 years as sponsors. Only two companies. Because if you want a numismatic, they'd sell it to you, but they would try to sell you gold and silver bullion with, you know, 10% markup or whatever to pay their bills and do it. And that's very fair. You barely do it. I don't know how Kirk does it, 8%, with his crew and his everything and the quality and the marketing, but he does it. So he's paying for marketing and running his crew and doing all this stuff for 8% and no charge to sell it back. Everybody else does that. It's such a good deal. It's very frustrating. I know we have millions of people watching every hour, and a lot of folks are calling. He's getting thousands of calls when he comes on. That's great. But it needs to be tens of thousands of calls. I mean, this is so simple. In a world of fiat, you at least want to have a hedge that's in silver and gold. And if you look at what's happening, I am only going to try to push something that I believe I would personally do. And that I personally do. I mean, it's real simple. Do unto those who would do unto you. That's the golden rule. And Christ said, actually, you need to go further, lay your life down for others. But when everybody's like that, you live in a great society because nobody's really having any problems. Everybody's a badass. Everybody's willing to sacrifice. So it is a no-brainer to call them, do a consultation, and get into silver right now. And if you want some gold, you know, maybe get an 80% silver, get some gold. But I think he's dead on. I don't think I know. You would be all silver. That's what's going to go up, obviously. That's what's undervalued. Then you get the gold once it skyrockets, which is already happening. So you need to go to KEPM.com/gold. That's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals. KEPM.com/gold. And then InfoWars is the support. Or you can call 720-605-3900. And listen, if enough of you went there, because he does a sponsorship off of what percentage he gets, we could get reporters back, expand, do anything. I mean, already we would not be on air right now if it wasn't for his sponsorship. He takes us over the top to be in the black. Not much, but a little bit. And so I appreciate the crew staying with us through all this hell. It's been wild. We're still here by the grace of God, but you need to support this sponsor. It supports what we're doing. Plus, it's the best deal, the best company, the highest ratings. It's so simple. Call him now, 720-605-3900.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I want to remind you that I'll be live at the Bohemian Grove event. Elijah Schaefer will be there. Leonardo Joni will be there. The Nephilim Death Squad guys will be there, as well as a host of other people, perhaps Shane Cashman. Just did a great interview with Shane Cashman over on his channel the other day from Timcast. So shout out to Shane, a really cool guy. We're all going to be performing and doing various types of things. I'll be harassing the audience with singing my cringecore songs and perhaps other interviews and so forth. We'll have books as well. Two-day event, October 25 and 26. If you head on over to my Twitter, if you scroll down a little bit, you'll find the tickets that are there. I'll also have the tickets. Actually, I'll repost the tickets at the top of my Twitter today. I forgot about that to get those. October 25th, 26th in Florida. It's going to be a great, fun two-day event. And I'm sure this topic will come up because we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff there. This whole idea of recruitment into secret societies, recruitment into sex cults, recruitment into the music industry and Hollywood. And if you think about the profile of people that are susceptible to these, this is another element that we could mention, because who would be susceptible to this? Well, many pop stars, many actors, they oftentimes, as you can imagine, have probably a little bit or a lot of bit of narcissism. And so if you are a narcissist individual and you are promised the world, you're going to be made a star, all this kind of stuff, well, that would certainly appeal to people that have a need to find validation and approbation through large audience sectors to try to get fame and fortune. I think the personality who craves that enough is willing probably to do anything. And this is precisely why a lot of the pop stars, I think, are put through these grades of humiliation rituals. And I think, again, it's very similar to what you see with organized crime. I mean, you have to make your bones, right, in the world of the mafia, the organized crime, or even gangs outside of the mafia, you know, other criminal organizations require you to do something to prove your worth, to prove your merit, to prove that they have something on you so that you won't go against the gang or the criminal organization. And so in the same way, I think pop stars, musicians, they're probably required or asked to do certain things to make sure that they're on board. I think this might partly explain a lot of the humiliation rituals that we see with a lot of pop stars, where they're asked to go publicly doing really shameful, bizarre, degrading things. Yes, there's an element of they're doing it for shock value. They're doing it for attention. They're trying to get viral advertising and all that. Yeah, but there's more than just that. If you read, for example, the third installment of C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy, when he's writing about the organization called NICE, which is a stand-in for the Tavistock Institute, the Royal Society, and its scientism worldview, you'll notice that NICE operates in the same way, where they have a degradation ritual. They actually put you through these really degrading, humiliating, disgusting actions to make you kind of lose your moral compass, and so that you have really no taboo at all. There's nothing that's taboo for you. There's a process to that. They do it on purpose, and it's actually very similar to if you read about the history of certain KGB or NKVD sex schools. They would do the exact same thing. They would take people who were recruited into KGB sex operations, swallow operations, and that would actually degrade them and get them to do the things that they thought were really gross. And so whatever you found to be too gross to do, you had to do that. And the purpose was it was very cunning, very precise. It wasn't just that they were a bunch of pervs. This was actually to make sure that you could be an operative willing to engage in anything that was needed at the time that your handlers wanted to compromise whoever they needed to compromise. And so if you're a sex operative and you find, I don't know, you know, gay sex offensive, you have to be put through that so that you might have to go, you know, compromise some high level dignitary, somebody that maybe you need to be used to compromise somebody at an embassy who happens to have gay proclivities. You don't like it, but that it doesn't matter. You serve the state. You're going to be gay for the state, whether you like it or not. Again, everything is spanking gay, as we've been saying for a long time. And again, you can think of other cults, other examples that point to not necessarily the gay stuff, but I mean, elements of sexual compromise. If you think, for example, about the Process, Church of the Final Judgment, and Manson, this has a tremendous amount of overlap with Hollywood, the music industry. Think about the Beach Boys and all that. Brian Wilson, the overlap with Manson. Manson and his now disclosed CIA connections via the Tom O'Neill book, which many people had been discussing for a long time anyway before that book. Well, now we kind of know that there is this element to Manson. There is the same element with British intelligence and the Process Church and the CIA, these overlaps. And so we don't know all the exact details, but we do know that with these kinds of cults, there oftentimes are these overlaps of mind control. It does appear that Manson was, you know, definitely brainwashing the girls at the Spawn Ranch, as well as other people. You have this overlap too with Kenneth Anger, the Rolling Stones, Lucifer Rising, all the avant-garde filmmaking that was going on there, which was, again, a lot of the same sorts of gay sexuality way ahead of its time in terms of what was acceptable on a social level. And so what was happening in the background of Hollywood and these cults and these intelligence agencies in the 1960s really just spilling over into the mainline culture decades later. And it's not I don't think it's accidental that people like Harry Hay, who was a key member of the OTO, he was a part of Crowley's group. I think he played the organ in one of the California OTO lodges. Harry Hay becomes one of the founders of, co-founder of NAMBLA, and also one of the co-founders of the modern gay rights, gay marriage movement. These situations oftentimes overlap because there's a deep connection between Hollywood as the new Babylon. In fact, they even made a movie with Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie, called Babylon, where Hollywood is really presented as this. If you think back to D.W. Griffith and his famous movie Intolerance, the sets that they built, where you have basically Babylon and Hollywood as Babylon, they were put up to be the entranceway into where that giant mall is in downtown Hollywood, even to this day in downtown L.A. So Hollywood is Babylon, and Hollywood has been for a long time presented as this and pictured as this. That's why Kenneth Anger wrote the book Hollywood Babylon. And if you're interested in that topic, I would say you can go read my books, because I also wrote two books very similar to that topic, Esoteric Hollywood 1 and 2. You can get signed copies at my website, jasonanalysis.com, in the shop, where I go into a lot of depth about all of the topics you're hearing me discuss today. That's why Hollywood has been so esoteric and occultic for so long. I'm not saying everybody's evil. I'm not saying everybody in Hollywood's bad. I'm not saying all movies are bad. I'm just saying that there is this deeper element. This is going on in the background. And, you know, when we were calling attention to this many, many years ago, it was less known, even though it was there. You would see this pop up in a lot of music videos. And there was even famous cases in Hollywood history of like the Black Dahlia and so forth, where there was this obvious satanic element to it. It's almost like they gradually just sort of uncloaked and revealed themselves in our day, especially in the last 10 years. It's just sort of totally uncloaked. You had famous people in Hollywood like Sammy Davis Jr., other, you know, starlets that were interested in Jane Mansfield. They were interested in the church. They were members of the Church of Satan with Anton LaVey. David Bowie famously wasn't interested in the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. He was very into ritual magic for a while. I mean, at a somewhat serious level. I don't just mean that they're doing it for, their persona or for their brand. But I think that to some degree, many of them have been actually interested in this. But also keep in mind Jay-Z too, right? Jay-Z, Beyonce for a long time have publicly promoted Crowley. They wear Crowleyan propaganda. Do what thou wilt with Crowley on the T-shirt. A lot of occult imagery throughout their videos. And you know, now we've had certain pop stars like Ye, who's talked about this. He seems to have kind of gone off into back and forth and flip flopped, and he seems to have some issues with drug struggles and all that. But a lot of what he's saying is accurate, and he has been talking about how trainers can be handlers. This has come out now, and he's not the only one. Even though he's saying kind of crazy stuff, other people were saying this too. Cat Williams, for a long time, has been saying that this is going on in the music industry, that rap is fake and gay, that they have rituals that they do to initiate you into the club, and it's basically just compromised gay sex. But he specifically used the term ritual, which I thought was accurate, which was relevant, because that adds more of a religious component too, even to the Diddy stuff. So I don't know that that's actually come out yet in any court documents. It could be. I've not read through all these court documents yet, but the religious element could be a key sign here, because again, a lot of these people get into Crowley, which is largely a lot of gay sexuality in terms of religious theology. They have a very vast religious symbology and meaning to gay sexuality in Crowleyanism and in that sect. Other groups, it doesn't have to be that group. There's other satanic sects and groups and cults that do the same types of stuff. And so you can see how very basic human passions, the desire to have sex, this kind of stuff, that's a very basic need. These groups prey on the basic needs that we have. And the CIA has used Maslow's studies, the hierarchy of needs. Humans, you know, require acceptance, love from other human beings. They require, food. they require sex. I'm not saying they require gay sex. I'm just saying they require sex. And so what happens is that cunning and smart people can prey on this need and lure weak people into these kinds of operations and into these kinds of settings, because they already have a proclivity of seeking approval, seeking attention, seeking fame. All of that need for acceptance is the weak point at which they can be brought into these cults, these circles, these groups, and then co-opted and compromised, groomed, so to speak, into these operations. Now, think about the Dan Schneider stuff with Nickelodeon. Another situation, very, very similar. I'm not saying that it's a total sexual compromise thing. I'm just saying it's another situation where we have, you know, pedo type stuff going on in children's entertainment. All of this stuff is completely degenerate. It's just a bunch of pervs and weirdos and creeps running these operations, and they get higher and higher in these structures because they have no scruples and because they're compromised and they're working together with other degenerate, compromised people. And so it's a system that perpetuates itself over and over and over. And it is based on certain esoteric philosophies. Not everybody in these systems necessarily has to believe in all that. They don't have to know all the ins and outs of the esoteric philosophies. But one of the patterns that we're starting to notice and what is being promoted throughout the pop music is this tendency towards the gay stuff, the tendency towards the trans stuff. Why is that? Because most or many esoteric philosophies worship Baphomet. They have this idea that the true God is non-binary or above all binaries or is both, because that's a higher, better position somehow. And we covered that when we lectured through basically the entire, almost all 500 pages of the Cambridge Companion. This is academia saying this. It's not me coming up with this, making this up. This is actual academic history and philosophy. And again, other books too cover this. In fact, there was a recent book written on how the entire modern world is kind of built on people like John Dee, the famous occultist. There's John Dee and the Empire of Angels, Enochian Magic and the Occult Roots of the Modern World. Other books are back in print too that have been out of print for a long time that I've been looking at that reminded me of some of these issues. Now, it's kind of old because it was written in 2002 or 3. But one of the first books written about the sexual abuse scandals in the Roman Catholic Church, you can now get it in print again. It was out of print for maybe 15 years. It's called Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Catholic Church by William Kennedy. And I recommend that book because it's really just going through mainline news stories that had come out up until the time of 2001, 2 or 3, whenever this was written. So it's not... Excuse me, it's not relying on a lot of conspiracy theorizing. It's really relying on public news stories of the rampant satanic ritual abuse that was going on in the Roman Catholic Church, which is an element of the pedophile priest story that's oftentimes covered up. They don't always discuss this. We've seen pop bands like the Jonas Brothers, for example. The Jonas Brothers have been seen. I know they're not as popular now, but they were shown with T-shirts of Aleister Crowley promoting just pure satanic stuff, Gnostic Satanism to kids. I mean, this is not accidental. It's not an accident that all these Disney pop stars and Disney kids end up suddenly getting into Aleister Crowley. There's a long history of pop stars again, getting connected to or doing public high-profile rituals that we've talked about so often. We talked about, for example, remember Pink back in 2009. She did a high-profile ritual, which was all based on the initiation into the Masonic Lodge. She did the entered apprentice ritual on stage. In 2001, the VMAs were a giant satanic service. Lady Gaga, 2009, she did a human sacrifice service. We've seen the London Olympics. We've seen the opening ceremonies of the Gutenberg Tunnel. That was all openly satanic. We saw the Olympics a few months ago, all openly satanic, anti-Christian, Jacobin, Illuminist symbolism all throughout the Olympic ceremony. And you'll notice as this keeps coming out, and as we've written over and over and over about this I started writing about this topic in 2011. My first essay critiquing occultism and esotericism in Hollywood was 2011. Now, I knew about it before that. I first encountered this idea in about 2004 or 5. But I didn't know enough about it at that time really to write about it. And I think I was listening to Alex at that time too. I first heard Alex in 2003. So I was listening to Alex regularly, and he would talk about, you know, the symbolism in movies and stuff like that. And that kind of got me interested in going deeper into this. in the realm of film. But it's not just film. You'll find that, oh, wait a minute, this is actually also in Hollywood. It overlaps very heavily into what we see in music as well, the music industry. And it didn't begin with today's pop stars. When you go back to Madonna, you find out, why is Madonna promoting Kabbalah? In fact, you go back to old videos. We went and watched recently Madonna's video for Die Another Day, the Bond movie from 2003 or somewhere in there, 2002. And if you watch the video, the Madonna video for Die Another Day, it's all about mind control, the fractured psyche. She's being abused. She's being tortured, electroshock, etc. She's tied down. She's presumably raped as well in the video, I'm saying. And she then utilizes Kabbalah in the video. You can see the Hebrew text. She wraps the tefillin around her arm. She starts praying, presumably chanting Kabbalistic prayers. And this is what frees her supposedly from the mind control and the abuse. And I mean, it's just wild to think about. I mean, most of us didn't know, you know, 2003, what Kabbalah was or whether Madonna was into Kabbalah. That really became popular much later, 2008, 9, 10. She was, you know, promoting the Kabbalah Center in LA and publicly about all about that. But it turns out, no, actually, Madonna was pushing this stuff and into this stuff much earlier. We just had the VMAs recently. I don't know if, I mean, does anybody even watch MTV anymore or tune into this stuff? I'd not watched anything like this in maybe 15 years. I don't remember the last time I watched MTV. I mean, I think the last time I've seen anything from MTV was like Flavor Flav and a House Full of Hoes. And Bridget Nielsen was there. So I don't know if that's like 2003. Like, I don't know when that was. Maybe that was VH1. Who knows? But I just remember Flavor Flav was trying to marry a bunch of hoes. That's the last thing I've ever seen from MTV. But apparently it still exists, and they still do the VMAs. And they gave a Lifetime Achievement Award to Katy Perry, which is like, it's odd. I mean, usually Lifetime Achievement Awards are when you're like 60 and you're, you know, Roger Moore after 30 years of movies or something. But no, Katy Perry got some kind of Lifetime Achievement Award, and she gets up on stage. She doesn't really do anything occultic, but now it's just a straight up implied like sort of pornography when her whole performance. There was other people that I wasn't even familiar with. I don't know any of the pop stars anymore today, and I'm proud of that. I feel like, am I a boomer now, or am I just like immune to the degeneracy? But what I'm getting at is that is there anything really even edgy anymore? Because once we've gotten to Lil Nas X and he's like gay humping Satan in a homosexual relationship with Satan, I mean, what else is there? There's no other. I mean, I guess technically, yeah, we could get more degenerate. There's things worse than that, but I mean, here we are, and this is by design. That's the point. Like, when you get into this idea of cultural degeneracy, even in warfare, this kind of stuff is utilized to demoralize. Remember when we did the sex espionage analysis from the Donald Boer book? We saw that famous military tacticians and generals, they were perceptive enough a long time ago, even at the time of the British versus the Chinese, or even the Japanese versus the Chinese. The guy, the famous guy we talked about, Kenji Doihara, he had figured out that he could spread throughout China brothels, and the brothels were also places where you could buy opium. So it wasn't just the British that were doing this. Kenji Doihara also probably adopted this from the British model of the opium trade. And he figured out that he was demoralizing vast provinces of China through his vast network of brothels. The hoes were also spies, and they were also selling heroin and getting everybody hooked on heroin. So drugs, culture war, and toxic, degeneracy spreading is a great way to demoralize a people. And this is what I'm trying to say to the normies and people like Matt Walsh, who doesn't think that there's any, you know, organized motivation behind this. It's all organic, and it's just happening, and who knows why, we don't know. Even though this has been studied by militaries, and it's a strategy, it's a known technique for centuries to promote degeneracy as a part of culture war, it's just like I mean, warfare is not just fighting with swords and guns and tanks. There's economic warfare. There's culture war. And all of these are used to demoralize the population. Well, guess what? All of this satanic psyops is being used on us. And one of the reasons that we never really are able to stave this off, I'm not saying it's not possible. We can stop this. It is possible. We don't have to go down this route. I mean, Alex has been talking about this, especially the last couple of weeks, since assassination attempt number two by the deluded boomer Gen X guy who believes the mainstream stories, right? He's the perfect example of a person completely brainwashed into what the mainstream media wants a person to believe about Trump and MAGA and all this. So it's completely delusional. And so they're acting according to the perfect mind control of the mainstream media, right? We don't have to go down that route, but it's going to require people figuring out that we're up against more than just the idiots in Washington and throwing the boobs out. I'm not speaking against Trump here. I think Trump has to be elected. Kamala will basically destroy the country. We have to have Trump. There's just no doubt about that. And I have criticisms of Trump, but look, Kamala will literally, I mean, just her capital gains stuff will destroy the country, destroy the economy. It's already half destroyed anyway. So what I'm saying is, like, if you understand this and how dire the situation is, and that's what the conservatives cannot understand. And they're really the main reason that things keep getting worse. I mean, we know the left and we know the Democrats and we know they're committed to pure evil. That's who they are. And God even says, I would rather you be right. Don't be lukewarm. Be hot or cold. Well, they're at least wicked, and we know they're totally wicked, totally depraved. But it's the weak conservatives that are really the end of the country. They're going to be the reason that this country is destroyed. Because why? They refuse to recognize what's really going on, that there are conspiracies, that it's way further down the line than we thought. And they keep propping up the battles of 20 years ago. And then they'll just concede that battle from 20 years ago and adopt the liberal position from 20 years ago. That's why conservatism of today is the Democratic Party of 20, 30 years ago. It's always that way. Why? Because nobody has a fixed, actual, hard worldview from which they can predicate truth and falsehood, right and wrong. It's all about playing politics, constantly compromising, and constantly giving ground, because everyone is just defending liberalism. Everyone has various forms of liberalism. No one can find true conservatism, which can only be grounded in some kind of theistic Christian worldview first and foremost. And it's not going to be found in a bunch of fake non-denominational churches or in Pope Francis's new church, where he says that all paths lead to God now. This is the Alex Jones Show. Be sure and head on over to the InfoWars store and buy those products to keep Alex on the air. This is the tip of the spear.
Today's conspiracy theories, tomorrow's truths.
Some of these conspiracy theories have turned out to be true.
Which ones?
The Trump-Russia witch hunt, Jeffrey Epstein, JFK assassination, the misuse of the Patriot Act, the Iraq war, the weapons of mass destruction, the war in Ukraine, the bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline, the open border migration caravans, the climate change scam, chemtrails, and HARP, and 9/11 being an inside job, and the Internet of Things surveillance grid, and PFAs, and chemicals in the water turning everyone gay, and the 2020 election being stolen, and January 6th being filled with undercover feds, and Bilderberg, and Bohemian Grove, and global government, not to mention gain-of-function research, and the threat of China, and collapsing birth rates, and defund the police, and George Soros, and mail-in ballots, and big tech censorship, and disinformation agencies, and Obama's birth certificate, and probably some others I can't think of. I mean, so a few of them. I guess a couple of them have been true.
You will meet so many amazing people wearing the shirt. I'd say you'll get probably 50 compliments before you get one person screaming at you.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States.
But it's an adventure to wear any of these shirts, but particularly this one. Get this design and so many others. They're limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on air in our fight against the globalist. And I want to thank you so much for your support, because literally, When you call in thanking me on air, I say stop, because I'm thanking you. I love fighting the globalists. This is what I do. We've had such a huge effect together. So I want to thank you all for your past support. I encourage you now to go to thealexjonesstore.com and be sure to enter for the free truck and $10,000 and buy more product, support the broadcast, and get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day, each time you buy a product. This new initiative is so important to the future. So everybody, if you support what we're doing and want to get great shirts and ball caps at the same time, go to thealexjonesstore.com. And I almost forgot, most t-shirts come in multiple colors.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.